A show of force on the streets of Sri Lanka's capital, Colombo. Public discontent has been simmering for months over an economy close to bankruptcy. Prime Minister Mahinda Rajapaksa has bowed down to pressure to resign.
Today's resignation is long overdue, but is unlikely to address the cause, the demands of the protesters. So even despite the curfew and a state of emergency, many are on the roads now because they feel their calls, their demands need to be heard.
Demonstrators have rallied for weeks outside the offices of Rajapaksa and his brother, President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, demanding both step down. On Monday morning, a pro-government group stormed a protest camp outside the Prime Minister's office, attacking people with sticks and metal bars and destroying the tents. Queues for food, fuel and medicine are common for the 22 million Sri Lankans. The pandemic, a loss of tourism and rising oil prices are all hitting hard. Foreign reserves have dwindled to about $50 million. The monthly gas import bill is $40 million. The government has turned to the International Monetary Fund for a bailout, but that will take at least 6 months to be finalised. A state of emergency and curfew have been imposed and the military deployed on the streets. But public anger remains, and so do demands for the president to follow his brother and resign too. Laura Badamanli, Al Jazeera.
Well, let's speak to Ahilan Kadir Gamar about this. He's a political economist and joins us from Jaffna in northern Sri Lanka. Thank you so much for being with us and for your patience. So, after growing pressure, the Prime Minister has resigned. Do you think this will be enough to appease protesters?
No, the demand of the protesters has been that the entire family who has governed this country over the last 3 years should resign. And crucial here is the president, the brother of the prime minister, who holds tremendous power. In fact, soon after he came to power, he passed an amendment to the constitution to heap even more power. So until the president goes, I think these protests are going to continue.
But even if the president resigns and the Rajapaksa family is out of the picture, that's not going to address the main issue here, which is the economic crisis Sri Lanka is facing today. It's worse since its independence.
Yeah, this is going to be a very long, drawn-out crisis, but we need to immediately start working towards solutions. And the president, having lost all legitimacy, he just can't lead this country out of this crisis. In fact, the longer he stays in power, we are approaching a state of anarchy. Even today, when the prime minister resigned, his goons went and attacked peaceful protesters, and now there is violence all over the country, and a state of curfew has been imposed. So this kind of situation is going to continue almost in a sort of an anarchic manner until the president resigns. And then, of course, they're going to have to pick up the pieces and really start working towards rebuilding our economy. And that might take 5 to 10 years even. So we're going to see a lot of political changes over the next years in tandem with this economic crisis.
Right. As Laura mentioned in her report before we came to you, the government has, of course, officially requested emergency financial help from the International Monetary Fund, which some people have said has come too late now. How might the political crisis that is unfolding now affect the negotiations with the IMF?
I think not just the IMF, Sri Lanka is also trying to get support from India and China and other countries just to even get some bridge financing to get over the next 6 months. But when there is so much political instability, it provides very little confidence to even get that kind of financing. Mm. And on the other hand, you know, with the strikes tomorrow, it's likely to be a national day of protest and strikes that are going to continue indefinitely.
Right.
And then the economy also gets affected there. So we have to get production going, our services back. And while this political crisis lasts, it's just going to make the economic hardship that much more harsher.
Tell us a bit more about the economic hardship that Sri Lankans are facing today, because, I mean, public conversations on the crisis include, of course, a wide range of issues from, you know, agricultural policies and trade regulation, monetary foreign policy as well, and foreign credit, sorry. How does that translate into everyday life for the average Sri Lankan? What has the crisis meant for people?
So petrol and diesel are in short supply. The prices of those fuel have also doubled in the last couple of months. But in addition to that, people have to wait in hours to get fuel. Cooking gas is in short supply. In fact, a couple of days ago, a lorry carrying cooking gas cylinders was looted. So, and then the price of rice has doubled. Bread is in short supply. The price of bread has doubled. So both price hikes and shortages has really enraged the people, and a lot of the anger that we are seeing against the Prime Minister and the President is about the complete mismanagement of the economy.
Thank you so much for talking to us about this. Thank you for your time, Ahilan Kadir Gamar, political economist and senior lecturer at the University of Jaffna in Sri Lanka.
Thank you.